Welcome to the Creative Classroom. I'm your host, John Spencer, former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about creativity and design thinking. And in this podcast, we explore the intersection between creativity and student learning. And we've kind of focused on one topic per month. So we started with the future of learning. We also got into this idea of vintage innovation, which was the theme of last month. Took a couple podcasts off to do some different topics, and now we're focusing on a new topic, and this one is design thinking. Right? It's something I'm really, really passionate about. It's something that I've been doing for over a decade. It's something that I believe works, and so that's what this particular podcast is going to be about. So let's go ahead and dive right into this topic, which is all about what happens to students when they engage in design thinking. So here we go. Innovation has become a buzzword in education. I mentioned this in my last podcast, this idea of getting used to innovation and really actually growing to accept it as a good thing, as a good term. And it's easy to look at the maker movement, to look at creativity, to look at innovation, and to sort of write it off as maybe just another trend. But what if it's not just a trend? What if it's an idea whose time has come? Innovators are divergent thinkers and problem solvers. They're creative thinkers. They're builders and tinkers and designers and makers. And isn't that what we want for our students? I would argue it's vital. It's exactly what they need. And I would also point out that it is not something that they just now need. It's something they have always needed. It's nothing new. For years, schools have been stuck in a one-size-fits-all factory model where students passively consume content. But here's the thing, kids aren't widgets. And while one size fits all works great for something like socks, it's not ideal for minds. Kids need to dream and wonder and imagine. They need to build and design and tinker and make. And this is why I love design thinking. It's a flexible framework that guides students through specific phases in the creative process. And again, I would argue that this has always been the case. It's not just that, the factory style of education is somehow obsolete. I would argue it was never good for kids. And I would also point out that there are people who have been advocating for authentic, creative-based education for a long, long time. If you read Dewey, if you read Papert, any of those people, you will see that they were arguing for the types of things that I believe in as well. So it's not new necessarily, it's just good. And that's what it's all about. And so there's this idea of design thinking, and we're gonna explore what exactly it looks like later and how it works later. We're gonna get into this idea of the launch framework, which is something that AJ Giuliani and I worked together on. But I wanted to first think about, if this is the issue, if this is the problem, which is factory-based education, kids are consuming, but they're not creating, and it feels so depressing and all of that. Well, then what's the answer? What solution are we advocating? And for me, I really go back to this idea that that's what design thinking is. It's one of the answers. It's not the only answer, but it's one of the answers because it works and it boosts creativity and it sparks innovation. And that's what I want to see with students. So here are some of the benefits I have noticed when kids engage in design thinking. Number one, they move from engaged to empowered. Design thinking honors student agency because they are the ones asking the questions, doing the research, generating the ideas, creating the final product. They own this entire creative process. And when that happens, they also own their learning. And it empowers them in a way that engagement fails to do. Again, there's nothing wrong with students being engaged, but I would say that the next step beyond engagement is this idea of empowerment. Number two, they become problem solvers. I mean real problem solvers, the kind of problem solvers who can actually create solutions. It's not easy. It can take time. Sometimes they get frustrated by the mistakes, but in the end, they view themselves as problem solvers. And this kind of self-concept continues outside of school. It's powerful. Number three, they grow more empathetic. Design thinking begins with a place of humility. You aren't just making something. You're making something that serves an audience. This requires a sense of empathy. It might be a service project or a product or something you are publishing. And each approach requires a different type of empathy. But when this happens in a culturally responsive way, students can learn cultural humility. They can learn true empathy. And I would argue right now, as we think about the election coming up, as we think about the divisive nature of the political system right now, isn't empathy what we need? And it seems like we are running a massive empathy deficit as a nation. And so if creative work can help students become more empathetic, if they can learn from design thinking how to see things from another person's perspective, I would argue that that is a small part of the solution. I'm not saying that design thinking is going to fix that necessarily, but if it can make them more empathetic at all, then that is incredibly powerful. And again, that's what will ultimately lead to change. Number four, they remain curious. Design thinking begins with a sense of wonder and curiosity. It honors this natural desire to explore and to ask tons of questions. And so when they're able to engage in the full design thinking process, they retain and maintain this natural sense of curiosity. Number five, they learn how to work cooperatively. Traditional schoolwork requires students to be dependent on their teacher as the source of all information. Individual learning shifts to independence. But design thinking takes a completely different framework. It doesn't start out with dependency on a teacher followed by independence. It actually requires students to work interdependently, balancing the needs of the group and the need for personal expression. Even if they're working on a personal design thinking project, they're going to work collaboratively with others. And that's really valuable to learn how to be more interdependent rather than just shifting back and forth between independence and dependence. Number six, they view themselves as makers. By sharing their product with the world, they participate in a global community of creativity. They can also share their creative journey in what Austin Kleon describes as showing your work, or as he says, becoming a documentarian of what you do. And in this process, they are more likely to appreciate the creativity around them. Number seven, they value the diversity of creative mindsets. Here, students experience a bigger definition of creativity. And in design thinking, students might be hacking a system, solving a problem, engineering a solution, tinkering, tweaking, testing ideas, gathering data, dreaming up new ideas, and all of those things are a part of the creative process. And when this happens, they learn to value the creative mindsets of everyone around them. Number eight, they learn the power of creative constraint. For all the talk of thinking outside the box, they're is a time and a place for learning how to think inside the box, working with limitations as you prototype and figuring out how to turn these constraints into your design features. And that's what happens when students engage in design thinking. Number nine, they see the value of iterative thinking. Too often students are punished for getting the wrong answer. They're stuck in a grading system where they average their scores, and if they can't get the right answer quickly, they get punished. But with design thinking, they have an entire phase devoted just to refining their work. They're expected to make mistakes. And I think that's important because in a way, it's more like what real creative work is outside of school, right? It's what we all do when we engage in any kind of creative work. Now, this doesn't mean we let them, you know, just get away with doing crappy work or ignoring deadlines or anything like that. But instead, it's saying we are going to devote time to refining and improving what we make. And in the process, we learn how to engage in iterative thinking and learn how to move and shift and modify until we've created something that is actually different. And number 10, they become creative risk takers. Design thinking encourages students to engage in creative risk taking at every stage. In the research phase, students can engage in divergent thinking, learning that every question matters. In the ideation phase, they get over the fear that their idea might be dumb, and they generate and combine ideas. And then in creating and revising, they realize that failure is actually part of how you learn. And actually what they learn is that the only true failure is giving in to the fear of failure. They learn that the mistakes are just a part of how you make stuff. So in this sense, making is the mindset and design thinking is the process. Ultimately, that's what we want. We want them to grow into makers. We want them to embrace a making mindset. And when they use design thinking as this process, this is who they become. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Again, I would appreciate if you could leave a review on iTunes. That would mean the world to me. It helps people find this podcast when you do that. And if you're an avid listener, if you're somebody who's been listening at all, just thank you. I appreciate it. And I really enjoy it. So have a wonderful day. And let's hope that your classroom can be as creative as you can possibly make it.